This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hi everyone, welcome to Sherm Radio, the place to catch up with leaders and have insightful conversations on all things work. And I'm Archana Jarrett. In today's episode, we will be focusing on the very crucial aspect of diversity and inclusion at the workplace. Sherm for long has been a champion of inclusion and of second chances at the workplace. Joining me today is a lady who is a crusader of D&I in India and has made it her life's mission. Dr. Sondarya Rajesh is a social entrepreneur and founder and president of the Avatar Group. She is a long-standing expert on D&I and has brought the concept of second careers for women in India. She has also authored the book, The 99-Day Diversity Challenge. Dr. Sondarya, welcome to Sherm Radio. So, Dr. Sondarya, before we get into the meat of the topic, do you have any dream organization from an inclusion perspective that you would, like to share with all of us?
Every organization that has a diversity and inclusion agenda is to me a dream organization, because they will eventually get there. The ideal, of course, is a 50-50 gender balance. An organization that has an equal number of men and women, an equal number of people who have different identities and who come from different backgrounds. That is definitely a dream organization. But then the best place is one where every individual is welcomed, feels empowered to bring their whole selves to work, and is able to rise to the fullest of their potential. That, to me, Archana, is a dream organization.
Almost sounds like utopia that you're describing, Dr. Sondarya.
Well, everything is utopia when you begin. And then as you chip away at the dream, I think it becomes a reality, Archana.
I hope we have more such realities, in the So you're so passionate about diversity and inclusion. So what drives this passion, and, any personal experiences that you'd like to share with us?
So I was this young girl in the early 90s. I had gotten the dream job. I had gotten into this large multinational bank, and I was, doing extremely well over there. When suddenly the three M's happened: marriage, mobility, and motherhood. Mobility, which I would actually describe it as lack of mobility, because I did not have flexibility. I did not have the opportunity to work from home. That which we are talking about right now as something that has been forced down our throats by a virus-created crisis was something that was not available at that point of time. So I realized that this was not a problem that only plagued me. I realized that you needed to work on both the demand side and the supply side of the equation. The demand side, the demand that women had for careers that were flexible, with organizations that were inclusive, that were absolutely understanding, and where biases did not exist. And of course, the supply side, the organizations which could supply those jobs and create a workplace that was more welcoming for women. So when I realized that this opportunity was there, I decided that I had to do something about it. And there was one experience which actually just hit the nail on the head. See, after my job at the bank, after 3 years, I took a break. And then, like every woman who has taken a break in the career, at some point of time, you realize that you want to get back in and you begin trying in right earnest. So did I. But what happened was, at a particular point of time when I was sitting in front of an interviewer for an interview, I realized that this break was the biggest lacuna that could ever be seen by anybody who looked at my resume. They were not going to see the fact that I was a gold medalist in BA, the fact that I was a rank holder in my MBA, the fact that I had cracked a top campus placement, or that I had done extremely well in my job. Those things did not appear to the interviewer. The only thing that loomed large in front of his eyes was the fact that I had taken a break. So it became not a skills interview, but a break interview. Why break? How break? What did you do during the break? How did you go? Why are you thinking of coming out of the break? Break, break, break. This was what the whole interview was about. But even more importantly, there was another feeling that I sensed. I could see that the interviewer did not consider me a worthy candidate. in spite of the glowing resume that I had, the fantastic references that I had, he felt that somehow, by virtue of having taken that break, I had compromised on the quality of my output. I decided that there had to be some initiatives that changed that. So out of that anger, if you may, or energy, as I call it, Avatar was born in the year 2000. So this need to build inclusive workplaces, to enable women professionals to have that career continuity, to be able to make that leap from one job to another in spite of a break, or actually make that break completely irrelevant, became the work of my life. And that is what it continues even today, Archana. Thank you for asking that question.
I'm very inspired by the story that you shared, and I think so many women can relate to this, including myself. It gives me goosebumps. And for all the men and women listening out there, I think this, you know, there's been a situation either on one side of the table. You've been a champion of second careers for women for a long time. You introduced the concept in India. How can we make this a more systemic and institutionalized concept? And do you see this work from home that the COVID situation has brought in for a large population of workers today globally is going to be helpful to inclusion in the long run?
I think that's a brilliant question. Statistics say that there are over 70 lakh women on career breaks in India who are seeking, this re-entry into the workplace. See, by the early 2000s, I had become very, very aware of the existence of this talent market that has very, very specific career requirements, such as flexible working. When Avatar was born, within a few years, we created India's first career service for women professionals, avatarwomen.com, and we began not just the process of skilling women, but also of sensitizing the workplaces. So we began processes for flexible working enablement, what one would call the flex science, the ability for an organization to be able to offer a workplace which is boundless, which is not bounded by the four walls of the workplace, but is able to actually provide an opportunity for people to work from anywhere. So between 2005 and 2011, we invested in a lot of research. Avatar, in fact, is one of those organizations in India which holds the key to a really large amount of research projects which look at the Indian woman professional, which look at second careers, which look at both the demand and supply side of the challenge. By 2011, we had already placed more than 30,000 women back into the workplaces after having taken a break. In 2016, we actually launched this initiative called the Best Companies for Women in India. And this we did in partnership with the Working Mother Group. And that has actually began a process of trying to understand the analytics which go behind creating a workplace, which is an equal employment opportunity for both men, women, the third gender, and every individual that is merit worthy. So I believe that a higher participation of women in the workplace, raising the number of hours that they spend on the job in terms of, providing them with the flexibility and including them in sectors that really require that input of women, I think these are factors that will be crucial for economic growth even today. I think the post-COVID scenario really has to utilize this huge talent pool of women, and organizations have to start looking at flexi readiness on a war footing. In fact, I'm going to say this, that those organizations, and I'm saying this because we have over 400 companies that participate in the Best Companies for Women in India. And these organizations which had subjected themselves, to the rigor of putting together work from home policies, and they did this 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, they have emerged stronger and better prepared during the pandemic. They know what policies, protocols, training programs are mandatory in order to become really effective employers for both men and women.
Oh, that's a very interesting data point that you're sharing, and I'm sure it will intrigue all our listeners. Dr. Sondarya, just hold that thought. We'll come back on the other side of this break. And we'll talk a little bit about your book as well as inclusion. You know, we talked about third gender and many other aspects of inclusion. So we'll carry on this conversation right after this short break. This is Sharm Radio. I'm in conversation with Dr. Sondarya, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Sharm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India, Inc.
Welcome, everyone, to Sharm Radio. I'm Archana Jarath. With me is Dr. Sondarya Rajesh, social entrepreneur and founder and president of the Avtar Group. We are talking about the inclusion mindset at the workplace. So, Dr. Sondarya, before we talk about, you know, the other aspects of inclusion, you've recently written a book, The 99-Day Diversity Challenge. Would love to hear a little more about what went into this book and what is the core idea behind writing this book.
It's almost 2 years since I wrote that book, Archana. I mean, it seems like yesterday, but I realized that I wrote it in 2018. And between 2018 and 2020, it seems as if a few millennia have passed. I mean, that's how the whole COVID thing has, I think, shifted timelines for all of us. The reason I wrote the 99-Day Diversity Challenge was because there is this mind block in the mindsets of people that diversity and inclusion is this gigantic, giant subject with ginormous data there, and it's so difficult, so complex. That thought, I wanted to break that thought. I wanted people to approach diversity and inclusion in exactly the way we approach learning a new language, say in 30 days. I mean, many of us have picked up the books, right, saying learn Hindi in 30 days, learn Tamil in 30 days, learning Telugu in 30 days, and so on. In the same way, why not a diversity and inclusion challenge of 99 days? I mean, when you can subject yourself to a weight loss challenge, why can't you subject yourselves to the challenge of becoming more inclusive? So that is why I had a sense of urgency right there in the title. I feel that in today's hyper-connected world, this skill of inclusion is an enormous positive benefit in your repertoire. I think every individual, every professional should learn this skill of how you can be, both inclusive and accepting of differences. So in order to be that, and I'm telling you, Archana, in today's world, where we are in a post-COVID scenario, and we are working, and it's not even really post-COVID, I would say it is during COVID scenario, we are looking at the way in which organizations have to come together. The team is completely dispersed. What used to pass off as a cohesive culture is now completely dispersed. People are not aware of how they can, build that same rapport, that same connectedness. I'm telling you, organizations which have a core of diversity and inclusion are absolutely able to do this. So it's a benefit if you have a culture that was inclusive to start with, and then you, over a period of time, you became diverse, you brought in different identities of people, you brought in members of the LGBTQ community, you celebrated their presence in your midst, you brought in people, persons with disabilities, you enabled them to bring out their full potential. And that is truly a beautiful world. So I think, the idea of writing the 99-Day Diversity Challenge was to really challenge every business leader. I mean, I wanted to sort of throw the gauntlet at them and say that here is a book that says you can become inclusive in 99 days. Will you take up the challenge? Are you up to it? And I believe that COVID has actually created an inflection point for this change to take place sooner than I thought, Archana.
Okay. So, and how do you see, are you seeing organizations actually being helped by the book, and you see a different viewpoint from organizations starting out on their journey on the inclusion mindset?
So a lot of organizations purchased this book. I'm sure that it is on its way to become a bestseller and so on. I don't know. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But many, many organizations have bought the book. And what they have done is, they have first of all overcome their fear of the subject of diversity and inclusion. They know that it can be a great conversation starter. They read the stories, they read the crosswords, the self-assessment exercises. There is a very interesting lexicon that I have in the book. And what they believe is that rather than look at it as some kind of a hugely esoteric subject, which is going to be very complex for people to understand, it's actually very intuitive. It's very, you can just get it just the way you get communication skills or you get interpersonal skills. The way you learn that skill, diversity and inclusion can also be taught as a skill. So I have found, many, many awesome feedback that I've received about it, and I'm clearly thrilled that companies have found, the 99-Day Diversity Challenge to be more than just a book. They are using it to begin the discussion on inclusion. I'm given to understand it's also the prescribed textbook in SPJN Institute of Management for the diversity and inclusion. And I'm really glad that the book is, taking its own route to help organizations understand the full power of inclusion to drive profitability and increase productivity. So I think the book answers, it provides answers to all of those myriad questions that are in minds of the leaders. And I think it's even more relevant today during the COVID scenario.
Wow. So it must be a proud moment for you. And congratulations, Dr. Sondarya. So we have, I want to ask you a very quick question. We have very little time left before we end. What is your advice to organizations that are in this, because it's a journey and, some may be at the beginning of the journey and some may be at a more later stage of the journey, but it is a journey nonetheless. In this journey of creating truly inclusive organizations, what is the advice to not just the organizations, but also to the people in those organizations, because it encompasses all the employees that work there as well?
Archana, this quest of creating a truly inclusive workplace, it might be overwhelming to a lot of leaders. And that's one of the feedback that I constantly obtain. And that's a question that is constantly asked to me. I mean, it seems so humongous. How do I remove blind spots from everybody in my company? How do I de-bias every single decision maker? How can I ensure that everyone is fair, that everyone has equitable actions? I mean, it seems too big. And I don't want to embark upon a journey if I'm setting myself up to failure. This is a question that I'm constantly asked. And my answer to every leader who's passionate about creating a diverse and inclusive atmosphere in their company, especially during this COVID times, when you have a team that is so widely dispersed and remote working, and you're not able to bring them all together in that one room and, impress upon them with the force of your personality, I would tell every single leader, just begin. Just stay committed to the cause of inclusion and diversity. And I would say it in that order, Archana. Inclusion and diversity, which means inclusion comes first, diversity follows. If you need to create a truly diverse workplace, first begin by having a thorough bias-busting exercise in your organization. Clean your entire workplace of biases. This is something that can be very, very well done. And I know of organizations which have actually gone through this journey right now, during this COVID period. They've had webinars where they've had unconscious bias training sessions. They've had diversity sensitization. They've had gender sensitization sessions. And they have begun the journey. Once you've gotten started on the journey, creating a blueprint for that utopia, you remember we spoke about that at the beginning of this conversation, that utopia of an organization, that is actually not too far away. So just begin, stay committed to the journey and take on those small initiatives, if I may, of having those sessions, get the conversation going, and when you know, the situation turns and when the hiring begins, you can actually be well prepared to have a diverse organization where you bring in more and more diverse candidates. So this is what I would say to any organization that is, you know, thinking of getting into the diversity and inclusion journey.
Very inspiring and practical words there, Dr. Sondarya. Begin the journey and stay committed to the journey. Thank you so much. And here's to ideal and utopian organizations that are truly inclusive and thus diverse.
Speaking with you. It was an absolute pleasure having this conversation with you, Archana, and to all the listeners of Sherm Radio. My best wishes to you. May you stay safe during these COVID times, and may each of you rise to the fullest of your potential. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Totally my pleasure. Thanks everyone for listening into Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media Podcasters. Stay tuned as we'll come back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. with another great conversation on all things work. And here's to true inclusive workplaces.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India, Inc.